Hello, everyone. Welcome to Amago, Season 2, Episode 3, High Expectations. I'm your host, Vanessa Brown. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. I am so excited to be back with you, and I hate when we are not together, but I wanted to be able to share this word with you that I've been studying for the last couple of weeks. It is found in Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. And it says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." So here in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, we find the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi while he was still under house arrest. The city of Philippi was a Roman colony colonized by many of the military leaders of Rome. And while most of the citizens of Philippi had never seen Rome, they were still expected to live by Roman laws. Even though the Apostle Paul could not be with the church at Philippi in person, he had high expectations for them. In Philippians 1 and 27, he says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Having high expectations means that someone has set a standard or goals that are ambitious, that are demanding, and they are challenging. Generally, when someone has high expectations of you, it is because they know what it takes to face what's ahead of you. And generally, they see in you potential, and they sincerely want the best for you. I find it interesting that even though the Apostle Paul was under house arrest, he can share with the church at Philippi specific guidelines for their conduct as Christians. Now, how could somebody who has been or is under house arrest and is being punished tell others how to live as a Christian? Well, the Apostle Paul could do this because he had faced persecution himself while he was in Philippi. Now, we would have to read the book of Acts, chapter 16, and there we will find the account of Paul being in Philippi. And you may remember this account. Well, he's in Philippi and he is walking, and this slave girl every day with a spirit of divination kept following him. For many days, the Bible says, she kept following him and saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Now, even though she was operating under a spirit of divination, she was still speaking the truth. Paul became annoyed because of this constant following of him. And so he turns around and he commands that the spirit of divination leave this slave girl. Now, this meant that the owners of the slave girl could no longer make money from her. So they became angry. They then accused Paul and Silas and said, and they said this to the officials in Philippi, they said, these men are Jews and they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs that are unlawful for us as Roman citizens to accept and to practice. So the officials of Philippi then publicly whip Paul and Silas and throw them in prison. So when Paul is writing this letter to the church at Philippi, Paul knew what the church of Philippi was experiencing, and he knew what they needed to do in order to conduct themselves, listen carefully, not as citizens of Rome, but as citizens of heaven. And as I was reading and studying this, I thought about the fact that we are now living in a time period where we are being challenged to see what we're really made of, much like Paul and Silas. Things around us now are happening in our families, on our jobs, in our society that tests our faith. It tests what we will stand for and how we will respond to it. Sometimes we now have to choose between our faith in Christ or our family. We have to choose between our faith in Christ or our friends, our faith in Christ or our church, our faith in Christ or our possessions, our faith in Christ or justice. The Apostle Paul tells the church at Philippi, whatever happens, they should conduct themselves in a manner that's worthy of the gospel of Christ. And I pondered on that for a moment, for a while. I had to digest and chew on it. What does it mean? What does that look like to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ? Worthy here means having or showing the qualities or abilities that merit recognition in a specified way. It certainly is a high expectation to live our lives so that our lives deserve praise or recognition of the gospel of Christ. To accomplish this, the Apostle Paul lays out for us three high expectations. He lays it out for us. He lays it out for the Christians at Philippi. And as I was reading what he was asking of the church at Philippi, I thought about how it really is applicable to us today. First, he says, stand firm in one spirit. To stand firm means that you are not easily moved, that you are grounded, that you are solid in your belief. One spirit means one common disposition and one purpose. First, you stand strong by holding on to what you know and what you have been taught that is true. Titus chapter 1 verse 9 says, hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. We have to stand firm in what we have been taught and what we know to be the truth. You stand firm by not engaging in arguments about words, but by studying the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Notice now, in 2 Timothy, we study to present ourselves to God, not to man. You don't study the word of God to try to prove to anybody anything about who you are or your status. You study the word of God to prove or present yourself to God. How can one say that we trust and believe what we don't know or understand? How do we say that I believe God, I trust in God, when I don't know what God has said? We should always be ready to defend what we believe. We should always be ready to defend our hope. But we have to know what our hope is, and we do that by studying the Word of God. You stand firm in one spirit by not being burdened with the yoke of slavery. It is so easy to get caught up in the doctrine of men. It is so easy to get caught up in all of the rules and the traditions that are not biblical. Many of them are simply rules that man came up with to make you feel bad about yourself so that they can appear more righteous in your eyes. So we have to stand firm by not being burdened by the yoke of slavery, these things that man has made up that did not come from Jesus Christ or God our Father. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." You cannot achieve righteousness on your own. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter if you pay tithes every week. It doesn't matter if you pray all day and all night. You cannot receive righteousness without the blood of Jesus Christ. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verse 6, it says, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away." There is nothing you can do to make yourself righteous except believe in Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 7:7-8 says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green, and it has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." It is through our knowledge of him and our relationship with him that we can stand firm. And then finally, standing firm doesn't even come from us. It comes from God. 2 Corinthians 1:21 tells us that God makes us stand firm. It says that he anoints us. He sets his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. It is not of your own doing that you can stand firm, but it is God that makes you able to stand firm. So again, the first way that we live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ is by standing firm. Secondly, we live a life worthy of the gospel by contending as one man for the faith. Now, when we read the account of Paul and Silas being in prison in Philippi, they fought Paul and Silas side by side for the gospel. The Bible tells us that at about midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and the whole jail was shaken. But I find that today, instead of bringing unity to the body of Christ, there seems to be this tearing down. It is as if people seek every opportunity to divide the body of Christ. Some people are constantly trying to find fault with every Christian leader that there is. I'm talking about from Joel Osteen, the T.D. Jakes, to Michael Todd. It doesn't matter who the Christian leader is. We hurl accusations about their conduct, about their teaching, about their ministry. And what I don't see is people trying to cover them in prayer. I don't see people trying to build a platform or to develop content, trying to defend those who are trying to carry the gospel. But the Bible warned us, and I believe the time is now, where we see and hear that the gospel of Jesus Christ is under attack. And it is our responsibility as citizens of heaven to defend the gospel. Now, not defending our opinion, not defending our denomination, not any of those things, but defending the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has come to the point where people are now calling right wrong and wrong right. But as Christians, as believers, we are responsible for defending the gospel. We're told, and in Acts 20:29, that I know after my departure, wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. We're told in 2 Timothy that the time will come when people won't put up with sound doctrine, but instead they will seek after teachers who will basically say things that will appease their itching ears. That time is here. But as believers, again, in order to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have to defend the gospel. The third thing that Paul talks about, and probably my favorite part of this that I'm learning to live, is that we are supposed to be without being frightened of those who oppose you. In order to live a life worthy of the gospel, we cannot be afraid of people. Paul, I love this too when I read this account. It just became crystal clear for me. Paul, when he was in prison, right? They beat him. They stripped him in public. They beat him and Silas, and they threw them in jail. And the people in Philippi, these officials in Philippi, because they listened to the owner of the slave girl, they assume that Paul was a Jew, but what they did not know was that Paul was a Roman citizen, and a Roman citizen was not to be treated that way. So when it was time for him to be released, when they learned that Paul was a Roman citizen and it was time for him to be released, they sent word to the prison and said, release him. Paul said, no, you're not going to just release me. He demanded that they come to the prison and escort him out. He wanted them to acknowledge that they had mistreated him, and he wanted the full rights of a Roman citizen. Now, what this helped me to see and understand is that Jesus never says to us as Christians that we are not to stand up for ourselves. Being a believer does not mean that we allow people to mistreat or take advantage of us. We are citizens of heaven living on earth. And yes, we have to abide by the laws of the land, but we are never to be afraid of what man can do to us, because the very worst that they can do to us is kill our body. They do not have control and cannot do anything to our souls. Matthew 10 and 28 says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. I am sometimes just amazed at how much stock we put into, I'm going to say, appeasing people. The things we do, the lies we tell, all of the jumping through the hoops that we do for the sake of man, when in essence, they can't do anything to our soul. The only person that can, only person is Christ, but only God determines where we go. The rules regarding sharing our faith and our belief are changing. There will soon come a time when our faith will be tested publicly to either declare or renounce Jesus. And even now, some of us are afraid to mention the name of Jesus in our workplace or around our family or our friends. And my brothers and my sisters, I ask you, what kind of faith is that? No one on earth has the power to save or condemn our souls. Yet we give them immense power. Jesus's expectation of us is that we have no fear of those who oppose us. Isaiah 41 and 10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So, in order to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have to stand firm in one spirit. We have to contend as one man for the faith, and we cannot have any fear of those who oppose us. This makes us worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining me. Please visit the website at amagohymn.com to check out all of my coaching and leadership development services. You can find me on Instagram and YouTube at Amago Hymn. That's the at sign Amago Hymn. And you can find me on Facebook by typing I-M-A-G-O. Please be sure to like and share my posts on Facebook as well as my reels. And if you find us on YouTube, please make sure you hit the subscribe and the notification button so that you'll know whenever a new video or audio has been posted. Please download the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to, especially if you're listening on Spotify. I am still trying to reach 1,000 subscribers. If you'd like to reach me, the email address is amagohymn@gmail.com. I look forward to the next time. And until then, we shall be just like him.